Okay, first of all, I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me, and in particular Malcolm Brown, who recalled that I was one of the, my directions of the research was related to ill-posed problems. So thank you for inviting here. It is, of course, a perfect place for workshops. Everything is very well organized, and I enjoy it. Okay, but now to business. So there was the title. The talk is related to one of the most popular ill-posed problems about the convolution type equation. So we have a convolution of the kernel K with the function Z. If both are appropriate, have appropriate properties, this can be written as this standard integral, and this is the right-hand side. So we shall denote the exact solution of this equation corresponding to the exact right-hand side by U exact. The right-hand side will be denoted by U exact, and the appropriate exact solution by Z exact. So information about kernels. So the assumption is that it is a locally integrable function, and further assumptions are in terms of the Fourier transform. First of all, Fourier transform is not equal to zero, and it satisfies this or this estimate. In the first estimate, it is estimate below. So the Fourier transform of the kernel of omega is greater than or equal to some constant multiplied by the following expression, 1 plus modulus of omega 1. Omega is a vector in Rn, omega 1, etc., omega m. N capital is the dimension. So omega 1 to the power L1 over L capital, etc., omega n to the power Ln over L capital. All of this to power minus n1. N1 is non-negative number, Lj are positive numbers, L capital is the maximal of Lj. And another estimate is estimate above. It is similar to what is written here. The only distinction that here we have less than or equal to, and here we have minus n2. But most of the results are related to this first estimate. In applications, it very often happens that the appropriate kernels satisfy this condition with some values for L1, etc., Ln. Also, it is important that this estimate may be anisotropic when, of course, L1 and etc. Ln are different, not equal numbers. Okay. So, to be precise, we define convolution in the following way. So, first we introduce the space S prime tilde over n, which is the space of all functions, of all tempered distributions in the standard Schwarz space of tempered distributions, which is denoted by S prime of Rn. But we have the following additional assumption, that both f and its Fourier transform are locally integrable functions. This definition helps us to give the following definition of the convolution. So, you know that the definition of convolution in general for distributions is rather tricky. But in this case, it appeared to be convenient to define the convolution in the following way. So we consider functions f and g in this space. Then we have the appropriate Fourier transforms. We assume that the ordinary product of these two functions belongs to this space. Again, in general, if f and g are Tempor distributions, Fourier transforms are also Tempor distributions, and the product, you have problems with defining the product. But in this case, under this additional assumption, this product is just pointwise product of these functions, which are functions in L locally of Rn. And the assumption is that this product should belong to this space. Then you can define definition, the convolution in the following way. So you take f and g in this space, take Fourier transform, multiply the Fourier transform, and take the inverse Fourier transform. So and this allows to consider more general equations. Okay, so now the definition, the precise definition of the exact solution. So given k and u with index e in this space, the function ze in the same space is a solution to this equation, which by the definition at the previous page means that the exact solution that e is a function in this space satisfying just the simple equation, the Fourier transform of k multiplied by the Fourier transform of ze is equal to the Fourier transform of the exact right-hand side. Then, of course, we can divide. Under our assumption, these are ordinary functions, so, and we divide in ordinary sense, but we assume that this ratio belongs to this space. And then you can write explicitly the exact solution in the following form, that the exact solution is the inverse Fourier transform of this ratio. But of course, this formula is not much helpful because we have instability. So if instead of exact right-hand side, we consider right-hand side with error, then this formula is unstable. And the problem is to construct regularized solutions which converge to the exact solution in a certain sense, of course, by using additional assumptions on the solution and on the error. So now I give the definition of the regularized solutions. We have z alpha delta, two parameters, alpha and delta. Delta is just the error in the right-hand side. So now we consider the right-hand side u delta, which is the exact right-hand side, plus the error delta. And alpha is some positive parameter. And the precise definition of the regularized solution is as follows. So we have the Fourier transform of the right-hand side given with error, multiplied by the Fourier transform of the kernel of minus omega, and we divide by the modulus of the Fourier transform of k squared plus alpha, and this factor, which is 1 plus omega 1 squared to power L1, plus et cetera, 1 plus omega n squared to power Ln. And I recall that L1, et cetera, Ln are the parameters in the assumption on the kernel of, on the Fourier transform of the kernel K. So this definition of the regularized solution depends on the parameters characterizing the Fourier transform of the kernel. This is what is sometimes called adaptive regularization, because the choice of the approximate solution depends on these additional parameters. So so in practical calculations, wide use is made of the Smoothness-Tikhonov's functional, and it was already mentioned at several talks at this workshop. So this is a very general approach, rather natural. So we consider the following functional. So k convolution z in our case, minus the right-hand side given with error. This norm in some space F1 squared plus the parameter of regularization alpha multiplied by the norm of z in the space F0 also squared. And instead of considering initial problem, the problem of minimization of this functional is considered. Usually under rather simple assumptions, one can prove that this minimization problem has a unique solution. And this unique solution is taken as an approximate regularized solution. So, of course, very much depends on the choice of spaces F0 and F1. And maybe this is the most important problem when you use Tikhonov's functional. So in standard cases, in simplest cases, usually F0 is just Sobolev space, say W12 or H2 in other notation, and F1 is, say, L2. And in many cases, this works perfectly well. However, it also happens that this assumption that the solution belongs to Sobolev space is too strong. And it causes problems when you try to construct approximate solutions. So the main idea here is to choose these spaces in a different way. And this different way is related to spaces with fractional order of smoothness. In two words, the idea is as follows. So instead of considering F0 to be Sobolev space of order 1, you consider the space of with fractional smoothness of order less than 1. And this order may be any positive number between 0 and 1. And what happens in this case? Still, the problem is still stable. But the assumptions on the solutions, a priori assumptions, are much weaker. More than that, if the parameter of smoothness is sufficiently small, then this space contains unbounded functions. So, and this is important in some problems in geophysics when the appropriate convolution type equation has exact unbounded solution. So in order to recover such unbounded solutions, it is quite useful that the a priori information allows considering unbounded solutions. So, but now how it is done in this particular research. So later I shall give the general definition of anisotropic Nikolsky-Bessel spaces with fractional order of smoothness, or even with arbitrary orders of smoothness, positive, negative, whatever. But currently we know that if the parameter of smoothness is non-negative, and these parameters p and theta are both equal to 2, then this definition may be given in much simpler form, and the norm in this general space for these particular values of the parameters, p and theta equal to 2, is equivalent to norm with index 1 which has the following form. It's given in terms of the Fourier transform. So the Fourier transform should be multiplied by this factor, sum in j from 1 to n, 1 plus omega j squared to power sj. And the norm, L2 norm of this expression, should be finite. it is convenient to use this equivalent norm in the definition of Tikhonov's functional. So in the definition of Tikhonov's functional, we set F0 to be this space with the parameters P and CT equal to 2 with vector L0, and F1, similar space with vector L1. And the difference of the vectors L0 and L1 should be equal to vector L, which enters the conditions on the Fourier transform of the kernel. So if we take such spaces, then the Tikhonov's functional has the following form. We have just integral, we have sum, and we have this particular expression containing Fourier transform of k, of u delta, of z, etc. So, the functional, the Tikhonov functional written in this form allows straightforward minimization. And if this minimization is carried out, then one can find the minimizer, and the minimizer has the following form, which is written here. So it is the inverse Fourier transform. Here we have again the Fourier transform of the right-hand side given with error, the Fourier transform of the kernel of minus omega, omega. Here modulus of the Fourier transform squared plus alpha, and multiplied by this more complicated equation, more expression, which is the first sum is related to the vector L0. So the sum 1 plus omega j squared to power L0j. And another factor to power minus 1 is related to the vector L1 and has a similar form to this one. But what should be noted that this expression can be estimated above and below by a simpler expression, sum in j from 1 to n, 1 plus omega j squared to power lj. I recall that the vector lj is the difference of L0 minus L1. And the estimate below also holds with some positive constant a. And moreover, if we take the Fourier transform, which is quite simple here, then we again have that the Fourier transform of this exact minimizer of the Tikhonov's functional is estimated above and below by the Fourier transform of the function regularized solution z alpha delta, which was suggested at the beginning. We have two-sided sandwich estimate. And this explains the choice of the regularized solution. So we consider z alpha delta instead of the exact minimizer because it is just simpler and it is easier to work with this regularized solution. But on the other hand, it is very close to the exact minimizer of the Tikhonov's function. In technical terms, it is a good advantage. So, in order to state the results, I need the general definition of anisotropic Nikoisky Bessel spaces. So it is not a simple definition. And as I have mentioned, if the parameters P, which is the parameter of summability, and theta is additional parameter, is these two parameters are equal to 2, then definition will be, can be given in a rather simple form by using directly the Fourier transform. However, it appears that if P and theta are not equal to 2, then that straightforward definition cannot be used. And instead, a much more tricky definition should be used. I first show the formula, and then I return to the previous page. So here is the definition of Nikolsky-Bessel spaces in the most general case. So a function f belongs to Nikolsky-Bessel space with the parameters p and theta and vector parameter s. If f is a function in Schwarz space, in general, these are spaces of distributions, and the following expression is finite. How this expression is organized? So first of all, we take the Fourier transform of f. Then we multiply this Fourier transform by some special functions, phi k. I shall say some more words about these functions slightly later. And then we take the inverse Fourier transform. So here the Fourier, f in general is a tempered distribution. The Fourier transform is tempered distribution. But functions phi k are good functions. So this product is defined. And the inverse Fourier transform is also defined. And then we consider this function. And we take LP norm of this function on Rn. And we multiply this by 2 to power k s, where s is some number which is defined via the vector s. And then we take everything to power theta, and the sum to power 1 over theta. This expression should be finite. So what happens if p and theta are equal to 2? So of course, in this case, you can kill the Fourier transform by using Parseval's equality. And then by using the properties of functions phi k, which I shall say some more words about them, you can reduce this expression to the integral, which I showed at one of the previous pages. So now we return back. So I have said that there is a parameter s. It is some kind of average smoothness defined by the vector s. So as what is related to the properties of function phi k, in fact, functions phi k, in a certain sense, are the collection of this function gives approximate smooth partition of unity. These are infinitely differentiable functions with compact support. And the support of function phi with index k is contained in the difference of the balls, ball of radius 2 to power k plus 1 minus ball of radius 2 to power k minus 1. There is also the, a certain assumption on the behavior of the derivatives of these functions. And the class of all such functions say is denoted by F capital. As I have said, importantly, these functions give us partition of unity. The sum of phi k of t is equal to 1. So it is a partition of unity, a special partition of unity with regular entries. Okay. But what I would like to emphasize once again, so if S is a positive number and S is sufficiently small, then a function belonging to this space may be unbounded. Okay, so now about estimates. So so the important point is that we assume that a priori information about the solution and the error is characterized by membership in some anisotropic Nikolsky-Bessel spaces with arbitrary positive vector order of smoothness, vector S, S1, etc., Sn. In this case, we consider positive values of Si. The main estimate is of the following type. So we consider the difference between the exact solution and the regularized solution, the definition of which was given, that alpha delta, in some space of such type. Parameters are P2, theta 2, S2 on Rn. And this is estimated via some constant multiplied by alpha to positive power sigma 0. And this is multiplied by the norm of the exact solution in the Nikolsky-Bessel space with the parameters P0, theta 0, S0 on Rn. And the second term is some constant multiplied by alpha now to power minus sigma 1. So sigma is a positive number. So, and this is multiplied by the norm of the error in another Nikolsky-Bessel spaces with the parameters P1, theta 1, S1 on Rn. So, of course, C0, C1 are independent on, depends only on the parameters. Alpha is any positive number. And importantly, sigma 0 is positive, and sigma 1 are positive numbers. They are from 0 to 1. This estimate is, in fact, the aim of the research, because it allows to do the following. So it explains that if the error measured in some Nikolsky-Bessel spaces is such that it tends to zero in a certain sense, then we can construct the regularized solutions which converge in a certain sense to the exact solution. So in order to do this, the simplest way is to minimize with respect to alpha. So this inequality holds for any positive alpha. If you take the appropriate value of alpha, then you obtain the multiplicative estimate, which is written here. So now alpha depends on delta. We have z alpha depending on delta and another delta here, minus z delta. So this is a regularized solution minus the exact solution in the norm of Nikolsky-Bessel spaces with the parameters which have index 2 everywhere. And it is estimated via some constant multiplied by norm of the exact solution in one Nikolsky-Bessel space, all indexes have zero, to a certain power, and also multiplied by the norm of the error in another Nikolsky-Bessel spaces with another power. Well, clearly, so if delta norm of delta tends to zero in this space, then we have convergence. We have convergence. Here again is the discussion about choice of the parameters. So the preferable choice of the parameters is such that S0, which characterizes the smoothness of the exact solution, is sufficiently small. And this is an advantage in application. Of course, as usual, you do not know much about the error. Of course, there are some assumptions of theoretical type, but this estimate gives hints how to choose the parameter of regularization, how to choose the appropriate spaces in the Tikhonov smoothing functional. And in fact, there is some prehistory. So in the department when I worked, there was an interest in investigation geophysical problems related to oil search. And they explained me that problem, that the standard assumptions in Tikhonov's functional by using Sobolev spaces appeared for their particular problem to be very restrictive and did not allow to obtain good convergence and so on. And we discussed many times, and then we tried this idea. Of course, you need to use here a technique related to these spaces with fractional order of smoothness. But from point of view of application, what was done, so they just in their particular calculation, they have chosen some particular Nikolsky-Bessov spaces with, say, parameter, in that case it was an isotropic case with a parameter of smoothness, say, 1/3. And it was possible to implement this. I have given the definition of this space for the case p equal to 2 by using the Fourier transform, but there is an equivalent definition in terms of differences, and that definition, it was possible to use that definition for implementation of an appropriate algorithm, and there were confirmations that it helped to have some practical algorithm. And of course, there are many methods of related to oil search, but they were interested in the cases where the oil basin is rather tricky, maybe consisting of several sub-basins, one above another, which gives a very special picture at the surface, and so on, so on. And so there were confirmations that this idea finally worked. Okay, so yes, this research was conducted with my colleagues and my former postgraduate students. In particular, in Cardiff, it was Garcia Almeida from Mexico, and we have the appropriate paper which is published in Journal Inverse Problems. Also, some further investigations were related to obtaining similar results, analogs of these results in the periodic case, which was done by Logon and Tararikova. So here are some references. So probably this is the main reference number 6. The detailed results were published in that paper. Of course, there are theorems which I do not show here with the appropriate assumptions and so on and so on. In two words, the ideas of obtaining such estimates are the following. So first of all, you consider this difference between the exact solution and the approximate regularized solution, and you represent it as some kind of convolution, and then you need estimates of convolutions in Nikolsky-Bessel spaces. All of this was done, and the estimates, and I probably show again the main estimate. So this main estimate was obtained, and in this case, all the parameters which enter this estimate were proved to be sharp, and so on. Okay, so this is my general information. If anybody is interested in more detail, I can speak on that privately.
Inverse formula, which resembles actually Wiener filtering. That's one. And if you just, instead of that realization term, alpha times, if you put constant, it will be exactly Wiener filtering. It allows solutions exist in L2, right? So no. Can you again explain why all this omegas helps compared with standard Wiener filter?
First of all, this is the formula which is used for the regularized solution. If alpha is zero, it gives you the exact solution. This is an important factor. It's not that easy to explain it into words. But if you just kill this factor, so it will not give you the result which you want.
No, it assumes that it's just constant.
This constant.
Yeah.
But constant is some limiting case which is not very good. So in this formulas, L1, etc., Ln are positive numbers. Okay, they can be small, but when they are small, so then you have some problems with that.
Question? No, let's just have a picture again.